I am starting a recording right now for the San Carlos Computer Club meeting, which took place July 20th, 2021. I'm here at breakfast with the kids in Alaska. Say hi, kids.
Hi, kids.
Hello, kids.
Those are my kids. We've made a breakfast of sourdough, French toast, and reindeer sausage. Some of our favorites.
We're in Alaska.
Yay. And tomorrow is the computer club. That's why we're having to do the intro right now.
Oh, my dude.
Because I still haven't put out last week.
Bro.
So, this is Scott Stimson.
Forever your host.
Forever your host of the San Carlos Computer Club.
No choice.
Who do I have here?
Bound by contract. I'm certainly
take
someone.
Your time.
So I am Emily, the favorite child.
You heard that, folks. And who else is here with me?
Hi.
Cutting her Nutella toast. So, Bibiana, what are you working on these days? It looks like you're deep into Discord in breakfast and not into the intro.
Yeah, precisely.
Breakfast?
Oh!
Special guest,
Mina!
Mina!
Sandy Stimson is showing up for the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. Thank you for joining us. What have you guys been up to?
Look here.
Another one!
More people are showing up.
Hi, guys.
Anya's here.
Hey!
Anya! Say hi, Anya.
Anya, you're on recording.
You are. We're recording the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club, and you're our next special guest. Say hi, Anya.
Hi!
Excellent. That's what we were looking for.
Oh,
and I think we need to shut down the recording. I'm just hoping that Bibiana will give us gold. Give us gold, Bibi.
Gold. Awesome.
Give us red brick, Bibi. Give us red brick.
Red brick. Caca.
Is that your call sign? Caca.
Caca.
She's been influenced by Rio.
Rio's good. Rio's so good.
Well, I'm going to call this intro to a close. And once again, this is the San Carlos Computer Club from Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. I am Scott Stimson, your host. This is
Emily Stimson, favorite child.
And this is
Bibiana Stimson. I'm just here.
Just here. And this is
Grandma Stimson looking for food. Oh, hi, bye.
And we're just here to say tech on.
Tech on.
Tech on.
Tech on.
Until next Tuesday.
Send a text to Jim Cunningham, seeing if he's coming. And James and Carolyn always come in at the last minute. So
a little bit later.
They don't like this pre-club chit chat.
Yeah, our what do they call it? The pre-game?
Yeah, the tailgate.
Tailgate. That's it. We're pre-gaming.
You get a barbecue set up in the background here.
Right.
Can you show them what you do have in the background, Billy?
Oh, let me see.
There
it is.
So we have this Facebook page, which is called Upcycle. Oh, Chester joined all on his own.
Chester's with us. Hey, Chester.
So we have this massage table for free. The only thing is it's not working. So that's Billy's next project, is to get the massage chair working for Cheryl.
They're really nice.
Here.
I got Jan one for her birthday last year, and she loves it. It's not a massage table. It's a massage chair.
Yeah, that's what this one is.
The massage chair, yeah. Yeah, with the feet and, yeah.
It's a deluxe model. I plugged it in, but I don't seem to be getting any power through it at all. So I have to tip it upside down and start tracing.
Yeah.
Hey, Linda, you got in too. Awesome.
Well, Where is Linda?
A little dark.
I see Linda's hair.
Yeah, I see Linda's hair. Oh, there she is.
Morning, Linda. Well, this is great. I went ahead and hit the stream button on YouTube, so we are live. Everybody put your pants back on.
I can't.
We can hear you now, Linda.
Oh, yeah. I'm on now. I had the sound turned down.
Ah, okay.
How's everybody?
Real good. Real good. I'm here in Alaska. Everyone else is in their mutual respectable places.
Let's see. California, Arizona, Canada.
Yeah. And we're actually calmed down in the temperature. We've been hitting plus 30s. We're now below 20 right now. So it's a nice, comfortable day for a change. Smoky, but comfortable.
Smoky. It feels really dreary and cold because of the smoke. But yeah, that's Fred.
Fred's here with us now.
Linda, what country are you in?
I'm in Green Valley.
And so nobody's in San Carlos. This is the San Carlos Computer Club coming to you from everywhere but San Carlos.
Right.
That's awesome.
is anyone that's on in San Carlos?
No, that's Cheryl's point, is none of us are in San Carlos right now.
We need somebody from Europe to tune in.
That's right. Then so we'll be the international computer club. We're almost the international.
We're international now.
We're global. The global computer club.
There you are. Yeah, the United States hasn't taken us over yet. We still are independent.
So, you know, they have a computer club in Green Valley, but they charge you to belong.
Well, where's our 20 pesos been going every week?
Yeah, Bill, where is it? I haven't seen it. where have you been? What have you been doing with it?
We've been sending it to tequilas.
To Russ. Russ has got it all.
Russ has got it all. That's right. Just using Bill Pay. It's going to Russ.
Well, it's funny because the people that need to be on here aren't on here.
Right?
Well, we need to change the name of it from a computer club to a BS club.
Hey, that's not my fault. That's your fault, guys. I just opened the list of topics here.
I was trying to add something to that list, and it wouldn't let me.
Chester's case, it's a medical checkup club.
I've really enjoyed.
How are you doing today, Chester?
I'm doing good. I'm getting stronger every day.
Good.
I was going to say I've really enjoyed Chester's medical technology briefs with us. I found them very useful, very interesting, exciting.
Absolutely. I didn't know you could pull a kidney out of a 5/8 hole.
Or trade a valve by sticking it up the artery.
I think they put in a special I don't know what to call it, but a container that they were able to put the kidney in the container and take it out. But I have no
idea. Ah, there you go.
Anyway, it's gone, and I'm doing well. I'm still using a walker, probably will for many years to come, assuming there are many years. I do have a computer issue whenever we get around to it.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well,
and
you know
I have a question about that.
It is that time. It is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, brought to you live from Anchorage, Alaska, where I'm spending the next month helping a buddy of mine put his house together. We've done inventory already, and it turns out no one is in San Carlos, and hence we are now forever known as the International Computer Club. We've got the United States, Canada, and Mexico. No, Mexico's not represented
at
all.
Alaska is a world of its own.
Yeah.
Alaska is a world of its own, so.
Alaska's a state that gets treated as a territory. What's that, Linda?
Hey, I'm trying to get everybody on the screen, but it's not happening.
You have to go to your change layout.
I don't see that here. I got a new tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't offer that change layout.
A while ago, Linda, and it's not over in the right anymore. It's in the middle. Like, it's right beside the hang-up, the three dots.
No, I don't have that.
Oh.
I have a brand new Samsung tablet, and I still have the same old stuff there, and I have everybody's picture down the side, but it keeps disappearing. Well, okay, I got everybody. Now I just have Scott.
Oh, so you must be looking at, you must have me pinned or something, because I'm just moving my view around.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know how to fix this.
Now my screen should be me plus you guys. Six boxes to the right? To the left? The right.
To the left.
Yeah, you're in the top corner. Then S3C's in the bottom right corner.
That's our branding.
Now I have everybody, but that's it.
And we see a silhouette of you, like a Japanese puppet.
We see the
play.
Top of your head.
Well, you know why? Because I'm sitting and the screen is behind me with the light.
Yeah.
Maybe if I move. Let me see now. Yeah.
We still just see the top of your head.
Oh,
that's better.
She's getting it lined up.
Yeah, that's better.
I've never used the tablet up for the computer club before.
But it seems to be working okay so far.
Yep. Now I lost you guys.
Are you in Chrome?
Yeah. Okay. Now I keep going off. Well, you know what? This new tablet, it has a very thin screen around it. And if you don't touch it just right, it goes off.
Okay.
Maybe I should get on my computer instead. I'll go switch to my computer.
Well,
learning something new.
It's nice to see somebody else has technical difficulties besides Scott.
Yeah, I feel in good company now.
All right, I'm switching off. I'll be back.
Scott, did you fly up to Alaska?
Yes. Yeah, we actually did something I'd never done before. We took a direct flight. Direct flight from Phoenix to Anchorage. Took us about 6 hours.
Wow.
And it was full, just elbow to elbow. Everybody wearing masks. I actually had a disconcerting experience with a flight attendant. He came to ask me my drink order, and I had my mouth down because I was eating something. We start talking, and I go to put my mask up. I'm like, kind of got headsets. I'm putting my mouth, because she's right there. And she goes, "Oh, honey, don't worry about it. I don't care about that." I'm like, "Wonderful. Thanks. You're just in charge."
I can't.
Oh, reassuring.
Yeah. And I had that sentiment on the plane. Like, we had people walking down the aisles and they weren't worrying about whether they had their masks on or not. We had people sitting in aisles eating, and they just, I mean, it was like they had forgotten they had taken off the mask and didn't bother to put it back on. I don't want to be that guy, but at the same time, we've been watching this Delta variant. It was accounted for something like 15% of all new infections, and in less than 2 weeks, it now accounts for 40% of all infections in the United States. So I'm not ready to be so casual.
Well,
hey, Jim, good to see you.
There's an unknown, excuse me, there is an unknown that's coming out of the situation where six members of the Texas Democratic Party flying together in an airplane have all come down with the new virus, but they had all been vaccinated. So they don't know the extent to which the new virus can be obtained by those that have been vaccinated, but they're thinking it may be up to 30%. So there is an issue out there that could affect all of us.
Yeah, Chester, I think you're right. I think the number I heard was that this variant is causing the vaccine to be 60% effective instead of the 95% effective.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, yeah.
I also haven't heard of anybody getting severely sick that was vaccinated, but there's still.
Well, I think that they've not commented on the Democratic Texans that were in the plane together. They haven't commented on how sick or not sick they have been. But I've also heard the fact that no one has died that have had the vaccine.
Yeah, they're basically saying that we've protected we're protected from death and serious illness. But, yeah, who knows?
What still amazes me is the number of people that I run into that have not been vaccinated and don't want to be. I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I agree. You've heard on the news, I'm sure they've had the same talking points going around, that the pandemic belongs to the unvaccinated now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are in the most serious risk. I'm nervous because Bibi has just gotten her first vaccination, and she won't get the second dose until the 7th. And this Delta virus is creeping up through us right during that time period.
What about you, Scott?
She got her second vaccine. This is how slow Mexico is going. So she is in the 40 and older group. I was in the 50 and older. She likes to make shit. She likes to give me shit for being an old man. But she has only now, yesterday, gotten her second dose of Pfizer. That's how slow Mexico's moving. They earlier, I want to say about 2 months ago, about the time I was getting vaccinated with my first one, Sonora was vaccinating their teachers with the Johnson & Johnson. And so all the teachers are supposed to have already been vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson. But the rate they're going, kids are not going back to school vaccinated.
Well, you know, they've got restrictions now again in San Carlos. They shut the beaches and something else.
Yeah, that's what Yuya was telling me. She's like, "Hey, it feels like you guys got out of here just in the nick of time, because they're starting to shut things down again. They've started having deaths that they attribute to the Delta variant." And
she comes from Alaska?
No, she stayed behind. She's got some steady work there. I was only going to be up here for a month doing this, and so it was just too disruptive. But the kids have just been going nuts in the heat and nothing to do, and so I brought them with me so they could visit their grandparents and friends and get out of that weather. You know, Yuya is a lifetime San Carlos person. She's born and raised in Guaymas. She's happy to be there in that heat, whereas us Alaskans and half-breeds are dying in the heat.
Well, everybody rejoiced they had rain yesterday.
Oh, that's excellent.
We've been having rain every day in Green Valley.
We haven't had rain for over 33 days now on Vancouver Island.
Jim, are you guys still having human-killing temperature highs?
No, it's gone back down to sort of a reasonable thing, you know, 20 degrees. So we're pretty happy with that. But there's no rain. We have a couple of overcast days.
Alberta, B.C. are burning up.
Yeah. The mainland of B.C. is in really big trouble. They've got fires close to urban areas and all sorts of things. Town of Osoyoos is quite nervous right now.
Really?
It's a city of Osoyoos, you know.
I understand Vancouver Island has created a problem for the United States. I heard on the news that Canada is prohibiting the cruise ships going to Alaska from stopping at Vancouver Island in order to comply with the Jones Act.
Yeah.
And therefore, Alaska is going to suffer greatly from lack of tourist trade.
Yeah. They ended up... The federal government in the United States allowed them to skip that and still be in compliance, because they're foreign ships that are going from a United States port, Seattle, to Alaska. And they were allowed to do it on a temporary basis, but you never know. Like, when things go temporary, then they sometimes get permanent, you know, because it was only the law that was making the cruise ship industry in Victoria really a viable thing, because it's so similar to Seattle in so many ways. Although people do like to put another country on their schedule, you know, or tick a box from their travels, you know.
Yeah, they did get a waiver.
They were talking about opening it up again. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Go
ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they got a waiver for going into Canada. They don't have to go in here anymore.
But, well, that's good news.
Yeah, well, it is, especially because of Alaska, they were suffering. Victoria, we haven't even got the Americans coming across the border. They've just changed that. They've just opened the border to vaccinated Americans now at the ground crossings, you know?
August 9th. Yeah.
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 So, hey, what about,
well, the,
have we started your club?
I'm sorry, Linda, what was that?
Have we started the club?
Yeah, we've started. We're just bullshitting, though.
Oh,
I hope you guys brought some topics other than COVID and temperatures. I did send out a document of potential topics that we could use today, and I just stuck a link in the chat. But I'm going to let Chester do his topic first. Go ahead, Chester.
Well, you know, I've discussed before this one single moment here. Microsoft's cloud.
The OneDrive, the Microsoft OneDrive. 365 yeah. subscription service.
Yes, and I had the 365 subscription, so... Sunday, I thought I would set up so that OneDrive and could back up my computer in addition to the external hard drives. OneDrive I'm already paying for, so why not let them back it up? So
yeah.
I set it up, and OneDrive took a substantial amount of stuff off of my computer and wouldn't give it back.
That doesn't sound right.
All the documents, they took away my banking program. In order to get my documents back, I had to go under the hard drive.
Yeah. Is it me or is it just Chester? I think it's me.
You put something in. All I really wanted them to do was to sync it, but they didn't just sync it, they took it. And I'd have to go into OneDrive in order to see my documents. I couldn't keep them on my computer.
Yeah, Chester, it sounds like you didn't get it configured in that backup mode that we were talking about in the settings there.
Well, I went to the backup settings and I tried, but obviously it didn't work.
Yeah, because there's you can use the OneDrive as space in the cloud, and it's a separate location. But
I got you on that. When I went to the backup, they had three different areas to back up, and you clicked on them.
Yep.
One backup was your documents.
Okay.
The other backup, pictures. And the third backup was your desktop. So I clicked all three of those to be backed up. And they did back them up for sure, but they kept them. And I had to go into OneDrive to get my documents. Not everything went in there, but my documents went in there and my banking program. So I did exactly what you said.
Yeah, that sounds bizarre that you'd have that experience.
Well, you know, I could go into the OneDrive and pull out my documents, but I couldn't get them back into my computer.
Your documents, your desktop, your photo, those folders should be synchronizing to the OneDrive, and you should be seeing identical files on your hard drive as what's in the OneDrive.
Well, when I went to my documents on my computer, for example, I went offline, and so I went to my
documents.
I went to my documents in my computer, and they're not there. The folder is empty.
So if you are making this transition, maybe what's happened is it hasn't been organized correctly yet. What happens is that when they're on the OneDrive, but they're not quite on your computer, then the documents will appear with little clouds next to them if you're online. If you're offline, they won't appear at all. When they are successfully synchronized between the two locations, there should be a green check mark next to each one of your icons, each one of your documents.
Yep, there was. But when you go offline, you find out they're not on your computer.
Everything that has a green check mark should be on your computer when you go offline.
That didn't happen.
Really weird.
And the whole check mark was there. But if you click on it, it just says empty folder.
Well, Chester, if you're concerned about it, I could take a look at it maybe later this week.
No, I've piddled with it enough.
Okay, well, it's supposed to be easy.
I'm going to use my external hard drive.
Well, what I can say is that we've got my father set up with it, and it's wonderful. I don't know if I told you the experience he had talking to Costco technical support, but they talked him into formatting his computer, and he lost everything.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was freaking out because he couldn't see the documents. They weren't there. And I got into it remotely. I signed him back into his Microsoft account, and slowly but surely, all the documents came right back to where they had originally been.
Well, I'm curious, if he goes offline, is his document still on his computer?
Yes, but again, only the documents that have the green check mark next to them. In this case, everything is in that format. But if there was something that had not had a chance to synchronize, then it wouldn't be available. You know what this conversation's reminding me of is that there have been settings on the Macintosh and on the Android that allow you to save space on your computer. I wonder if there's some setting like that I'm not aware of at the moment. If there were, the way the Macintosh and your Android devices do it is that they look at how much space you have available in your local device, and then only allow those files to come to your local device that you're using currently. So specifically, like on the Macintosh, anything that you've used within the last 30 days will remain on your computer. But if you haven't touched it in 30 days, then it will offload it from your computer to give your computer more space, maintaining it in the cloud. The next time that you go for that document, of course, you'd have to be online. But if it's been over 30 days, it's actually not on your computer anymore, and you'd click on it, and it would take a little bit of time to get it into your computer, and then you'd be able to work on it, and then it would be available to you for 30 days of inactivity. If you were to continue to work on it, it would just stay in your computer. And
Scott, I tell you what, I can't do it today, but sometime in the near future, I'll give you an email. We'll set up a time and let you come into my computer and see what you can do.
Yeah, because that just doesn't sound like the right experience at all. And I'm curious if it's just a misconfiguration And is this feature that I'm describing, I know very well in the Mac platform, but I've not been, I'm digging through the settings right now very quickly, seeing if I can find something similar. Because it would make sense if it was something like that that was going on. Save space and download files when you use them. I found it. On the very first setting, the first page of settings in OneDrive. Can I show you this? Here we go. Can you guys see that?
No. Very small.
Yeah.
Well, if I pin yours, then it comes bigger, but...
Well, right in the middle of my screen is the OneDrive settings. It's the first page. It's the first tab. It says settings. And all the way at the bottom, it says files on demand. And so, Chester, I would check and see if that's selected. If there's a check mark in files on demand, then Windows will be trying to do the thing I'm describing from the Macintosh. If it's check mark, the option is save space and download files as you need them. And it's the Microsoft equivalent of what I was just describing. If you find you have a check mark in there, then that would probably explain why you're having that experience. If you go offline, you don't have any files. And I'd be happy to take a look at it. Just let me know when it works for you, Chester.
Will do. Because I hate to just give up on a technology.
Well, and the beauty of us shifting our thinking into these terms, especially when you're paying for these services, subscription services, is you can quite literally move to another device and bring that experience with you. All that stuff you were doing just comes over to that other device.
Well, I was hoping to be able to transfer everything into my laptop, which I only use when I'm traveling, and that's not very often anymore.
I've got a customer using that technique to maintain the exact same files on their computers in San Carlos and their computers in Green Valley. And they go back and forth between those two locations, and they have computers in both locations. But they've got good internet in both spaces, so it's very easy to maintain that same environment in both locations.
That's all I have today.
All right. I have another camera here that is not worth turning it off. So has anybody else brought some tech topics for today? I'm really surprised my parents haven't gotten in here. But you know what's happened here, and I'm sure they're dealing with it, is their refrigerator died over the weekend. Don't you love that when the refrigerator dies Friday evening? We're fortunate that we're a bed and breakfast because we've got freezers and refrigerators all over the house. And so we had to quickly unload the huge fridge into all these little mini fridges and tucked away around the house. But of course, they wouldn't even begin to be ready to help us with the problem until today. So I'm sure that's what they're dealing with right now.
Is Paul aware that he has a buzzard in the place of his face?
Paul, what are you doing to that bird?
Under the buzzard's wing.
I'm going to get another R rating, another adult rating on this YouTube video.
That's right.
The cruelty to the animal thing.
That's right.
Oh, it's because, I mean, the buzzard is there. I put it on. But what has happened is my laptop has decided to have the camera work. So my external camera was covering my face. So okay. Now I moved it. So my loose wires have reconnected. But yes, I have the Mexican turkey right behind me there.
Scott, when you're talking about fridges and finding small ones in the bed and breakfast, on our property here, we have two motorhomes and an RV trailer that each have fridges in them. So our main one in the house, we would have three backups at the moment.
Yeah.
So.
No, that would be four, dear. We have
we have a little bar fridge that we used to use until we got the big one. So for a while there, we were in one little fridge, and now we have like four or five.
So. Is that a his and a her RV?
Oh, well, it's a story.
That's a great idea, Chester. You guys should just convoy wherever you're going. It's like bringing two apartments.
We have way more vehicles than we have drivers at the moment, but both of our grandchildren drove the new Jeep yesterday. So
is it a brand new Jeep?
Oh, it's a 2007 Jeep, but it came attached to the second motorhome that we bought. Yeah,
it's a case of it followed me home, Mom, can I keep it?
Yeah, the grandson that just got his learner's permit believes that it should be his and that he would like to work it off. Papa told him he'd be 40 before he finished paying for it at 25 cents an hour, but he feels that he should get minimum wage. So, you know, so we're under negotiations.
Well, do we have any other topics?
I had one from last week when I kept bleeping in and out of the meeting because of my stupid internet connection, which is the second topic I'll bring up. His name just left me. Somebody was telling us last week about an app that he has on his phone that gives him another number.
Oh, was that Fred? Was that you?
No, it was the guy that used to work for IBM.
Oh, Dave. Dave said that.
Thank you. Dave was telling us, we were talking about getting an AT&T Canada, Mexico, US. And Judy said, I don't want to buy it in Mexico because then I have a Mexico number. Right. And he said, all you need to do is get this Plum. I think he called it iPlum.
Yeah, very good. I did not remember it, but that's the correct one.
It just came to me at the same time as Dave. But anyway, so iPlum is supposedly a website and or an app that you pay $5 a month, and it gives you a local phone number that people can phone, and it will ring on your whatever phone you have. And I wanted to find some more information about it, but sounds like nobody else found it either. So,
well, I've looked at it before, and it's a service. It's very that feels very similar to something like a Magic Jack on your phone. Mm-hmm. It gives you a phone number, and you use an app, and then you can forward your calls. So that when you're calling out, no, when you're receiving calls, you can receive. You've got a number. You've got a U.S. number that you can receive. It just integrates with your phone. I think what Dave was saying is the issue is sometimes when he calls out, the caller ID is his Mexican number, even though he's calling out through iPlum. I think that was his.
So is that like a call forwarding service, or is that like, I don't understand Magic Jack. Is it an app? Is it a phone?
I can explain it.
Go ahead, Linda.
Lots of people are saying hello about a Magic Jack. Okay, so the Magic Jack, you get it and you plug it into a strip. It's plugged into a phone.
Well, the only problem is you can't hear because I got the headphones on.
And that's your main number. And then you also have it on your cell phone.
Okay.
So it's an app. So then it's when you want to call out on it and you're on your cell phone, you just click on the Magic Jack app and make your telephone calls. But a lot of people down in San Carlos have that. And then you have a U.S. phone number or a Canadian phone number.
Now, is the Magic Jack, you say you plug it into your computer. Is it a telephone? Is it like a handset? What is it?
I can unplug mine and I'll show it to you, okay?
Yeah, and the important part here is that with the Magic Jack, you don't need the hardware. You've got the service, and then they have an app so you can use your cell phone as your phone. And so you don't have to physically have any hardware connected to use Magic Jack. And that's where this is a really similar comparison. iPlum doesn't have hardware. It's all virtual. Okay, and so it's
so
just an app.
Like this.
Yeah, Linda.
Oh,
looks like this.
Yeah.
It has a little plug. It plugs into a strip, then it plugs into your modem, and it plugs into a separate telephone. So you have a separate telephone.
So you have to have something as in a telephone. Or could you use like an iPad, some sort of a computer? Can you do video calls on it or just telephone calls?
Now, say that again. I didn't hear you.
Is it audio only or is it audio video?
No, it's audio only, and you can text message on it.
Oh.
So you can get international calling on it. You pay extra money for that. Other than that, the calls are free to the U.S. and Canada.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people like to get down in San Carlos. A lot of people have their phone number. You can choose your phone number. You can choose your area code. A lot of people down in San Carlos will have a Magic Jack with the area code from their home.
home phone from their home.
Yeah, headphones.
And then you put the app on your cell phone, and you can make calls from it. Mm. Down in Mexico, a lot of people can't call their bank. They can't call Social Security. They can't call Medicare if they have questions. So they use their Magic Jack, and it makes you look like you're calling from the U.S.
So Scott, you put the link in, and it says it's a number one rated mobile virtual line.
Right.
So Magic Jack is the same kind of thing. It's a mobile virtual telephone line.
No, it's connected to the internet.
So it's an internet phone line. Okay.
Correct. It's an internet phone line. It used to be. Yep. It used to be years ago. You see the end here.
The problem isn't listening.
You can plug it in your laptop, but then you got to leave your laptop on all the time, and you can't get any calls.
Actually,
okay, now you don't need to do that anymore. Now it comes with an adapter. It just plugs into a strip, and the lights are on, and then you just attach it to your modem and attach it to your phone.
Oh.
So it's on all the time like a regular telephone, and people can call you on that.
But when you say attach it, are you doing a Wi-Fi attachment or with wires?
Well, it's got to plug it in the end of the Magic Jack is a phone plug and an internet plug.
Oh, there you go.
So I don't know if you can't. It's hard to see it.
Oh yeah, now I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one goes into your little telephone and the other goes into your modem.
Good.
It works perfect. I mean, I've had mine when it first came out. I've had mine at least 15 years. We've had like three different Magic Jacks, and when you buy it like at Walmart or any of them, you get your first year free. So basically you're paying for the service and not the unit.
The Magic Jack, as well as Vonage is very expensive. I don't recommend Vonage.
Yes.
But I always referred to it as the spouse's friend, because most of my customers would have one person that was really into computers, and the other person, it was all their thing. They don't do anything with it. Go ask them, whether it's the wife or the husband, somebody was the computer person and the other person was not. And this was like, you could provide somebody with a normal phone. They didn't have to learn an app. They didn't have to do something on a tablet. They could just pick up a handset and make a phone call and receive phone calls and have voicemail. And so in that respect, it's great. But that has nothing to do with iPlumb, because iPlumb is the other side of this, which is what Magic Jack would allow you to do, is have an app on a smartphone. And so the iPlumb is kind of like everything Linda's describing without the hardware.
Right.
So,
but you can get this also for just your cell phone, but most people like to have it in their house.
I enjoyed using Magic Jack by having it in the office, and then I installed the app on a variety of different smartphones in our life, and they would all ring at the same time.
And the other thing that everyone uses is WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp is strictly on your cell phone.
Well, that's right. And that doesn't provide you with an alternate phone number, which was the end game with Dave's topic last week.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of different things there. But the WhatsApp, businesses in San Carlos seem to really, really like it. And it gets you away from any long distance and everything. Like, if you don't have an international long distance calling free, you can make video calls, audio calls, text messages in your WhatsApp. And it's a free thing. The other thing that I was using WhatsApp for is when my niece is in Dubai, her access, like, she's not allowed to use Skype. She's not allowed to use Messenger for audio calls, like Facebook Messenger. She can't use any of these different things because it's so locked down. And so WhatsApp was her only choice.
Well, the other thing, WhatsApp
has phone calls on it even. She could only record messages, and they would come as a text, like an audio file. She could not make any live calls out of Dubai.
Well, the thing is, WhatsApp is encrypted. The problem is Facebook Messenger is not encrypted.
Well, it actually supports encryption, but you have to invoke it on each one of your conversations.
Right.
Whereas WhatsApp is encrypted by default. Right. I stuck the link to iPlume. It's iPlume.com. I put the link there in our chat if you want to look at it. That's the service in the app that you can download and install in your smartphone and get a U.S. phone number with whatever phone you're using, whatever smartphone you're using. I also stuck another link in there from a topic Bill sent me earlier in the week about Japan breaking the fiber optic speed record. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that article, but apparently it's 119 terabits a second. This is very significant because it is more than double the speed that was the top last year. So if you could just wrap your head around that for a moment, that's more than twice what was the norm a year ago.
Okay, one more thing, Cheryl. If you buy a Magic Jack, make sure you set it up at home before you leave. You cannot set it up in Mexico.
I'm not setting up a Magic Jack. I'm paying AT&T for my international long distance in all three countries. So I've got that one solution done. And I'm not relying on the internet because a lot of our rental places in San Carlos, the internet has not been good enough to maintain a Magic Jack consistently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we really were just using Magic Jack as kind of an analogy, kind of an example of the kind of service that iPlume has.
Yeah.
I got some numbers here that are really interesting, though, from this article. It says that the previous top record was 178 terabits a second, and that was set in 2020. So, I mean, like, Moore's Law is hard at work, even in fiber optic technology. It's seven times faster than the previous speed record that broke. That speed record was 44.2 terabits a second. As a point of comparison, they used, that was with some experimental photonic chip that they had. As a point of comparison, NASA itself uses a comparatively primitive speed of no more than 400 gigabits a second. This article is about terabit.
Yeah. You know,
a terabit is 1,000 gigabits. Terabit is 1,000 gigabits. So we're talking about 319 terabits. Last year, the fastest was 178 terabits. NASA has their own fiber optic backbone and get a top speed of 400 gigabits. That's less than half a terabit. And most of us that get fiber optics from the curb to our house can only hope to achieve 10 gigabits a second.
So, I just did an internet speed on our fiber optics to the pole, 43 megabytes per second.
Yeah, and that's the real world number. Anyway, another thing that's really significant about this is you don't have to change the current fiber optic infrastructure. I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but basically you change the modem on either end and you use the same fiber that's there in place and they're able to achieve these speeds. Yeah, Bill.
I think that was over a very significant distance too. It was like 1,400 miles or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It wasn't just inside a lab.
Right, right. In fact, where is it? I just had it in front of me. It uses this thing that's, what do they call it? Wavelength. Can't remember the polarization modulation. 43.5 miles or 70 kilometers. The 919 terabits a second over 70 kilometers.
That's like the Library of Congress total stuff, isn't it?
Bam! I think that's more than the Library of Congress.
In a couple seconds.
Yeah.
It was almost being simultaneous.
Yeah.
I tell you, all of my data would be simultaneous.
But a good point of reference would be that you can't move data inside your computer that fast. Like most of us own a computer that you could not read the file off the hard drive into the CPU that fast.
Would there be any trouble with it coming in that fast then?
It would just,
yeah, if you're not careful, it'll blow the side of your computer off.
It'll blow out the back. You got to put a reinforcement shield on the back so it'll.
And I think you have to wear protective gear for the radiation.
You got to make sure you got safety goggles on while you do this.
Yeah. No, welding helmet.
It's a welding helmet. That's the most appropriate because you know it's light and so you don't want to blind anyone. Wouldn't that be funny if fiber optics was coming into your computer so fast you could see light coming out of the seams of the device?
Funny ha-ha or funny ee?
Isn't 5G offering about the same thing?
Well, this is very specifically an increase in fiber optic technology. 5G is down at hundreds up to a gigabit in speed. Hundreds of megabytes up to a gigabit in speed. This is
100 times faster than 5G.
Yeah, at its fastest, it's probably 300 times faster. And what's very significant about this, Chester, is, again, the infrastructure doesn't have to change. Like 5G, to take advantage of that, they have to go put new antennas everywhere, right? And we have to buy new devices. Whereas the fiber optic lines that already exist, if you replace the end nodes, they can achieve these speeds. And the article says they were testing it over, almost 50 miles. They were able to achieve these speeds. So this seems like a really easy way to bring a lot more bandwidth, like right across the country. You know, we have fiber optic backbones throughout the United States. And they could, competitively triple the amount of data per second that could go across the United States by upgrading their equipment with this technology. This is all being studied. This isn't in the marketplace yet, but you can bet it will be very shortly.
Now that the billionaires are in space.
Right. Leave them there. Leave them there.
More like make them share.
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Scott, I have an interesting sidebar that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. My son.
That's okay. I'm done.
Just came back. Okay, my son was working way up in the north in Baffin Island, which is over by Greenland, and he's working at an iron mine. And this iron mine has one of the highest concentrations of iron ore known. It's over 60% iron in the ore. Uh-huh. Anyway, he brought me back a couple samples when he came home, and it's so high in concentration that magnets stick to it.
Wow.
And he says, what's that?
What is the name of the mine?
Mary's River Mine.
Thanks.
But he says he's seen samples where the guys in the shop have been screwing around and they welded on it. It's high enough that you can weld with a TIG welder. That's amazing stuff.
And what is it? It's iron ore?
Iron ore. It's coming right out of the ground and it's so high concentrate that a magnet will stick to it.
They probably don't have to pelletize it like they
do. No, they don't. They crush it, but they don't. There's no tailings pond. Like they don't have to concentrate it. It's concentrated enough. They crush it and they ship it. They put it right on the ship and it goes off to Europe.
Wow,
that's amazing. Well, what's the matrix? What's it in?
What do you mean?
Well, what's the what is there besides iron?
I don't know. Where is it there? That's it.
Oh, so it's like homogenous. It's one.
Yeah.
One thing.
Well, this is just iron.
Well, 60% would be 60% iron ore, which is about what you get when you pelletize. But that's an awful lot of concentrating. I used to be involved in this industry and some of those mines up in Canada. So, and then also Iron Range in Minnesota. So that's some wonderful stuff.
Okay, there's the ore.
A blast furnace.
There's the magnet.
Straight in. Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Just sticks to it. It's that high a concentration. It's amazing stuff. That's my sidebar. I just saw it sitting here on my desk, and I figured I'll share that with you. Yeah.
That's very cool, Bill.
Well, I got a cool son. What can I say?
Did you guys hear Mom's question?
My question is, who is buying that ore?
They're shipping most of it to Europe, it said.
I hope Canada's getting really rich.
Oh, shit. Probably the money's going to some American firm.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's probably going to one American guy who's orbiting the Earth, if not
as
now, shortly.
And the thing says they found it somewhat by accident. They weren't, you know, it was a prospecting plane flew over it and their compass went wonky on them. They went back to have a look at it.
They had an X-Files experience. They went down for a spaceship and they found an ore deposit.
Well, they were using a magnetometer.
Yep.
The way they found it.
Hey, Bill, do you have a name associated with that mine? What's it called?
Yep. Mary's River.
Mary's River.
Mary's.
Is that underground or surface? Underground.
It's surface. It's a strip mine. And they have a 200 kilometer from the mine to get it to water. They have a 200 kilometer haul road. They have to haul it
this
200 Baffin, kilometers.
Baffin Island?
It's in Baffin Island, yeah. The top end of Baffin Island.
It's called Baffin Land, and it's the Bullitt Group. B-U-L-L-I-T-T.
Bullitt Group.
Bullitt Group.
Out of Nevada.
www.baffinland.com.
Well, the name like Bullitt Group, it's got to be American.
Baffin Land Iron Mines. Baffin Land, all one word, two Fs. Baffin Land.
Well, Cheryl,
I'd be
you...
interested to research that.
Mary River Mine. I found it.
That was great. I just had a Google suggested search pop up. We're talking about this. We're making fun of who owns it. And the first one on the suggested search is, who owns Baffin Land Iron Mine?
Okay, who does?
What does it say?
It's the very first Google suggested search. It says ArcelorMittal. Are you familiar with that,
anyway,
Chester?
Beg your pardon?
Jointly owned.
Is it ArcelorMittal? ArcelorMittal.
I don't know the firm.
And the Nunavut iron ore. It says
and
the
Nunavut iron ore.
Yeah, Nunavut. Nunavut is the Inuit. Well, it's a territory. So the government up there owns part of it.
It used to be part of the Northwest Territories, but they hived it off.
Yeah.
Actually, most iron mines, because of the cost, are jointly owned by numerous mining companies and or steel companies.
Well, and it says that it's jointly owned by the Energy and Minerals Corp, a group, and ArcelorMittal. So it's French. That's why you're having such a hard time with it, Scott. But it's
I'm having trouble with it because I'm American.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of the locations are in Nubic language. I'm not sure what language it is, but yeah, it's a little bit hard. Lots of A's and lots of double J's and.
Okay. Is that whole road an ice road, or is it open all year?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no. No. He says they bring the ships in. They're still not in right now. They stockpile the ore all year, and then they have a very short shipping season that hasn't started yet. He says it won't start until August. But it ends. The shipping ends in October. They have to get all their ore out in that time frame,
like in a 2 month window.
They're highly regulated. The Inuit, the native people, have a real say in what they can and can't do there. And they wanted to bring icebreakers in this year to get it in earlier, and they said, "Don't, can't do that. You're interrupting our hunting season." Okay. So they are very regulated by the Inuit, which is not, I would say, a pretty good thing. They don't have free reign to go raping the earth, so to speak.
They probably also collect a handsome royalty.
Hopefully they do.
But we need more stories like that. Less of these church burnings and schools for the indigenous. It's been really a sad thing to follow.
So did you see where Habitat for Humanity is going to make 3D houses?
Oh, Linda, I just stuck a 3D topic in the bill it sent me earlier this week, a 3D bridge in Amsterdam.
I see this, but I just saw yesterday that the Habitat for Humanity is going to make a 3D house down in Virginia.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have a link to that story? I'd like to see that.
So we'll have to...
I'd stuck this in. Bill had sent this to me earlier in the week. I don't know if you guys can see that, but the world's first 3D printed stainless steel bridge. It's a walking bridge, but it was built by robots that were like doing all the welding using standard material.
They basically struck an arc with a TIG welder and just started building. They just built it up layer on layer with TIG welders.
How long did it take?
I don't know. It might say in there. I forget. I read the thing.
24 hours, wouldn't that be?
Oh no, more than that.
Well, here it is. The actual printing process took 6 months and was completed in 2018, but because of unforeseen delays, including waiting while the canal walls were refurbished, the bridge was only recently transported to the site by boat and then raised into position using a crane. I don't know if you guys can see. It's a pretty wild-looking bridge. What I was found most interesting, it's a walking bridge. What I found most interesting about it is that not only was it 3D printed by robots and it was stainless steel, but they incorporated sensors into it as they built it so that they can get real-time monitoring of its load capacity and be able to track what its structural integrity is.
And it crosses the canal in the red light district. That was important.
That's important too, of course. I was looking for the gallery. They had a gallery of photo. Oh, here's a picture.
Of the red light district?
No, of the bridge. What are we talking about?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Somebody's got something on his
there. Here it is being lowered. I don't know if you guys can see that okay.
Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, it's being lowered into place. Here it is in the crane. That's the one we were looking at earlier. Here it is in place. And that's my computer actually.
What kind of a machine would it take to build a 3D house? I mean, how big is that machine?
Well, okay, they've got these...
I just posted on the side the 3D, the Habitat for Humanity.
Let me bring it up.
And it's in the city of Tempe, which is really interesting.
Tempe, Arizona?
Yeah, Tempe, Arizona.
We could go see it when we're down there.
The 3D house builders I've seen have been these structures that do circles and build up concrete.
Surprisingly traditional looking.
Yeah.
Like a modern house.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't enough visuals. There's too much reading involved. This is impromptu computer club. We want pictures.
Well, I'm just looking at a couple of the links, but
it's 1,700 square feet. That's a nice size for a couple of people.
Bigger than my house.
Yeah, that's big. I wonder if they could crack them out and move them, or was it built in place? Does it say?
Build on demand printer is what you use. They call it a BOD 2 from Germany. Found thus in building small 3D printed rod. This home represents Habitat's new entry into innovative. Well, this looks like great reading, but I can't answer any quick questions off of the article.
No, it's mostly about Habitat for Humanities, but I can't find the name of the printer to find out how big it is.
They have a stat here that says that approximately 70-80% of the home will be 3D printed.
Yeah.
So that's probably why we see some traditional architecture in it, is because that's the 30%.
Yeah, windows and doors.
Yeah. But they are printing parts. They're not printing the whole house.
Yeah.
It's
probably it would work as modular cellar.
Yeah.
Smaller room. And
well, they're building one in Georgia, too. But if you go on YouTube, they have all kinds of videos.
Well, I like that it's in Tempe because we could actually go by and take a look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Hey, your backyard.
My backyard. Yeah.
There's your bodega plus apartment.
Got to get the printer there.
Oh. Now we can print it at Tempe and run it down the road or fly it in.
Well.
Yeah.
Speaking of houses in San Carlos, did you guys sell your house?
Well,
Sandy?
We've signed some papers. We haven't heard anything final yet, but have signed. And now we're all going, oh, we're really going to miss that house.
They've gotten so used to it not selling that we already had plans for it this season.
Got Christmas plans, all kinds of plans. No, we have to change
What's
those.
The address there?
It's 55 Lacoste.
What's the address at that place?
55.
Number 5.
No.
55 La Costa. It's right next to the Telmex office.
It's close. It's not next.
Okay.
It's on the same street.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Across from the upholstery.
Across from Chester's old... warehouse across from Chester's old garage.
Yeah.
Well, did you keep your car there? Or you...
No, we don't keep an automobile there.
Oh yeah, no, I meant Chester. What did Chester have a garage for?
Just something big and tall.
Go ahead, Chester.
I had substantial tools. I've always enjoyed most of my life until now working with my hands, and I've built several cars. I also had my motorhome stored there, and just enjoyed it. I owned it for many years, but now that I'm no longer in San Carlos, I sold it.
Well, houses are selling fast in San Carlos,
and also the price is way up.
It's nuts. Everything's sold. Everything is sold. It's they've been building because there's no more houses to sell. I've never lived there during a period like this.
I've seen it once before, and I'm gonna say about 10 years ago.
I don't think it was the same though. We had a lot of scams going on 10 years ago. Look at the Gulf Towers or those towers on the way in from town, or the Tetacowies and the controversy of cutting in the side. This is a whole different deal. This is very legitimate developing going on, and for the first time, I don't feel like everything's for sale. I feel like everything is old.
Well, one of the things that counts for it is the fact that the wealthy Mexicans in Obregon and Hermosillo have had a hard time getting into the United States. So they've discovered San Carlos and the very good amenities that go with it, except for the supply of water.
And internet. And electricity. And sewer.
And they weren't giving them loans before.
Yeah, I agree with Chester. That I totally think that, I mean, like the people that are looking at mom and dad's house, they pretty much committed. We don't want to jinx it. They're a Mexican family, and most of the sales that have been going on have been Mexican families. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. They have not been able to easily go to the United States, so they started exploring their own vacation opportunities there in country, which fits in line with kind of the attitude that the president of Mexico would want the citizens to feel. When they started having issues politically with the United States, he would get on the horn and say things like, we need to concentrate on our businesses. We need to focus on building our economy and our education here in Mexico and worry less about what's going on the other side of the border. And so this is like a direct lineage of that kind of thinking. Okay, we can't go to the States. We can't go to Disneyland. We can't go to Vegas. Where can we go in Mexico?
Well, you know, I was down there a couple weeks ago. I stayed 2 weeks. The traffic is incredible.
Yeah,
down
it's nuts.
The grocery stores, if you don't go, do not go to the grocery stores on the weekend. There's so many people in the stores.
Yeah, yeah, there's people everywhere. I mean, we've turned right back into the vacation town it's always been.
Well, I've also heard that this has all occurred at the marina, that every day there are more charter boats, and every day all of them are going out. So a lot of Mexican tourists and other tourists that are utilizing San Carlos. I think it's great. I just wish I had benefited from it.
Well, and we'll have to see what happens because they are recently re-looking at locking down because of the Delta. So this might throw a wrinkle in all that.
Well,
I know that they're getting people off the beaches early again. Sorry, Linda. Go ahead.
The people that bought our house are Mexicans, and now they're putting in a swimming pool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, we just have a small house.
I want a pool.
Awesome, awesome for a country, for a section of country that is worried about water.
Yeah, where are they going to get the water?
Right.
In Mesa, at least the pools are being filled in and made into decking for some kind of a deck.
Like a patio.
Yeah, like a patio. There you go.
Oh, rose garden.
Or a rose garden.
Oh, yeah, perfect. They don't take any water.
They fill them in to grow almond trees.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Pecan trees.
Pecans, yeah. Something that just takes an exorbitant amount of water.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
Are you out of here?
Yeah, I got to go. I got somebody at my door.
All right,
Linda.
Okay, bye.
Good seeing you, Linda.
Good seeing
you. Hopefully, see everyone next week.
Okay, Chester, we'll see you next week.
You're looking well, Chester.
Chester, you don't have any recommendations for me this week?
Bye-bye, everybody.
You're out of here too, Paul? All right. We're losing everybody. We're not done yet.
I've been watching Narco Mexico, which is different than Narcos.
Right. How are you liking that one?
The Narcos Mexico is all Mexico. And I'm enjoying it. I wish it were in English, but I read as best I can.
Yeah.
The words.
Well, I need to practice my Spanish, so maybe I should be watching something like that.
You would enjoy it. It's interesting, the words that I do know, how you hear them all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's been over a year since I've heard Spanish. So every so often on the Facebook, there'll be somebody from San Carlos doing a video. And it is so fast. And I catch, a couple of words, but I have to get my ear tuned up before we get there in December.
I would say one thing that it really brought to my attention, both of these series, is the vastness of the business. The amount of money that is involved is just beyond belief.
It's not just drug trade either. Like, they're involved in a lot of things, aren't they? Like gambling and,
primarily cocaine.
Primarily cocaine.
Money is in cocaine.
Yeah.
It really is the transition from marijuana to cocaine.
Yes, that's what, Narcos Mexico is basically about. And to this point, the cocaine that they're marketing into the States, they're obtaining from Colombia, from the cartels.
Big problem.
Yeah, it's quite a world.
Yep. Adios, everyone.
See you, Chester. Bye. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, so does anybody have a grand, uncommenced solution to the water problem in San Carlos?
Rain.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's environmentally related.
But it just, the longest pipe for urban water apparently is for San Diego. It doesn't even come from California. It's Arizona water.
Which is drying up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there's those long pipes, but that's not usually a Mexican solution. It's usually a deeper well or something that they try.
I'm a big fan of desalinization. I think that's the future technology that we're going to be seeing in places along the coast.
That's the big bullet we have to bite.
Yeah.
Aren't they doing something like that in Napame? I seem to recall something about 3 or 4 years ago, something about a desalination plant in Napame.
Well, I think, I don't have any specific information. I'm vaguely having a memory like you are. But I remember something like that, and I know that they've had such frustrations with the Yaqui River because it's been drying up, and then the Yaquis keep fighting for their rights to it. So I know there's this parallel plan, bring water from another source. I imagine that's one of the options they've been looking at, desalinization.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched one of your recommendations, James. Was it called The Debt?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was quite something. I binged watched it one night, I think Tuesday night after the club. I had to look at my notes and I saw that. And the Israeli... they were looking for one of the concentration camp doctors. Their assignment was to bring him back to Israel. And there were a few bumps along the way, but they basically lied about it and said that they'd gotten him. And it was an interesting story. A few things kind of fell apart in it, but it was very interesting to see.
Yeah, and I wonder, I didn't check to see if it had any veracity, like how close to reality of some actual thing it was. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it told well, just the way
it was interesting how they got themselves hooked on the dilemma, trying to do the wrong thing for the best, highest reason, and then and getting caught on the wrong side.
Name of that again?
The name of it's Debt. The Debt.
The Debt. Yeah.
The Debt. D-E-B-T.
Do I remember this right? This is a kind of a spy over generations thriller.
Sort of. The people involved are Mossad operatives, but it starts with their daughter telling the story.
Okay.
So, Yeah.
So it's a little multi-generational.
Yeah.
It takes place over decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're just finishing up.
Helen Mirren has come up a few times over my summer watching or my 15-month addiction to Netflix. But anyways, Helen Mirren was in that Leisure Seeker.
I haven't had a chance to watch that yet.
Oh, you have to. Your mom has to. Donald Sutherland and Helen Mirren.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a great actor.
Oh, yes.
I know, she's amazing. And so anyway, so that one, Helen Mirren, and this one, The Debt, and I can't remember, but I'm going to search some more for her, you know, because yeah. I really quite enjoyed her. Oh, so yeah.
That's also a fun way to discover movies, too, is to just go after a director or an actor like that and check out everything.
Well, yeah. Years ago, I was addicted to Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And she did some different ones, you know, but yeah, she's only done political talk shows ever for the last little while. But so you have to go whack a ways to watch hers. But
and Jim, and you're saying you're just finishing up Rake, the Australian.
Rake, yeah, and it's five seasons, I think, and it's there's 40 of them. And but like most series that go to that many, it sort of sags in the middle, but it finishes well. Mm. They started it. There's even it went over such a long period of time, and it's set in. New South Wales in Australia, but they do refer to current events often, and there's even a mention of Donald Trump in it towards the end.
Oh, wow. It's that. Okay. I didn't realize it was so recent.
Up to the minute.
Oh, guess we haven't got those last.
Yeah.
There's 40 altogether on Netflix. So
40
Canadian Netflix.
Yeah. Canadian Netflix. We need a VPN to Canada to watch Canadian Netflix.
I know. I know. It's interesting how there's some things that are in one and not the other, and it goes in both directions, you know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting as we go forward. I thought that the rights distribution and licensing model would just slowly deteriorate. But you see these properties like Peacock or Paramount Plus, and they aren't the appropriate place to put their parent company movies sometimes. They're missing an opportunity of making money by making those same movies and TV shows available on Netflix and Hulu and things like that. And so I'm not seeing the licensing model disappear anytime soon. It seems to continue to move forward. With the exception of places like Amazon that's making their own stuff and putting it in the movie theaters as well as on Prime, and Netflix doing the same kind of deal, putting everything on Netflix. These others, like HBO, or Warner Brothers, and they've got horrible streaming reputation for services, and they're not the first or second or even the third subscription that people are owning. But what they can do is they can license that to Netflix to play for 6 months, and they'll make more money through that licensing fee than they're getting from subscription.
Are they doing that?
Yeah, they're continuing to do that kind of stuff because they can't. Who would have thought that we'd be at this point and they'd still be trying to sort out this industry? But nobody wants to have Netflix, Disney, HBO, like all these services you pay monthly for. All of a sudden you've got this bill that's higher than any cable bill you've ever had. And so people are doing tricks like, well, I'll take that 30-day free when such and such a series becomes available, and I'll binge it and then I'll cancel it. This is the way we're behaving now.
Right.
I don't see that licensing model. A few years ago, I thought the licensing model would just end up disappearing because Netflix would make its content. Amazon would make its content. HBO would make its content. Everything would be distributed on there. But they're charging competitively, not a la carte. Like, it would be different if you get an Apple TV box and, for $1 a month, you can add HBO. For $1 a month, you can add Hulu. That would be a whole different world, right? Where you could have access to all that content, and you just be adding it kind of piecemeal to what you're doing. And they're charging competitive prices, like you should be on HBO, not Netflix. At that price, you have to choose one or the other. Well, no one's choosing the new HBO. They're always going to choose Netflix. And Amazon's, I think, has got the best model because, all right, you can stop watching the movies, but don't you still want free shipping? It's right. I think Amazon's the one that's got me completely tied. I can't imagine leaving Amazon for anything at this point. Now I get to put all my pictures up in the cloud. Unlimited space for my photos. I haven't paid anything extra. Even if they didn't give that to me, I'd still be getting free shipping. And there's a bunch of movies to watch at the same time. And they're making original content. They've got me locked in.
Yes, sounds like St. Jeff.
That's right. It's not because I want to. It's just because that's the way it's worked out.
That's right.
It is. It's so easy.
It's pretty hard for you to leave that. Imagine how hard it was for McKinsey.
It's funny. Somebody the other day was talking about the way that these billionaires, how we have a culture of billionaires helping people out. Like, that's our socialism in the United States, is you allow someone to get filthy rich, and then they'll throw scraps at the rest of us, trying to make us forget their previous behavior. You look at Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. Well, Jeff Bezos hasn't, the comment was Jeff Bezos really hasn't done any of that yet. Maybe this space program. I'm like, what are you talking about? He got divorced, and then she gave us $40 billion.
That's right.
That's his contribution to this movement, is he divorced his wife, and she's the one that's giving everybody money.
Yeah. Well, who divorced who?
Right. Yeah. Takes two. Always takes two.
So I got to get going, too. I got to take my RV to the diesel mechanic today. It's the big day, and we've got it all tuned up because it's going to be on the road in January, coming back to see you guys in San Carlos. But today is diesel mechanic day, so
all right, au revoir. Jim. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
James, you're going to fly over us when you go to Ottawa, hey?
Yes, we'll be waving frantically as we go past Sherwood Park there.
I was going to say you should drive through, if you were driving through, you know. But no.
Well, no, we're gonna fly over and take our chances in the airplane, WestJet, and they've been doing something to us. So you got to watch this. Anybody who's buying tickets. They have been selling direct line tickets, we have a direct ticket from Vancouver to Ottawa, and we chose it advisedly and paid a little more for it and so on. But they're saying, oh, that flight's been, you know, canceled or whatever, and then putting people onto flights that go to Winnipeg and then on to Ottawa, you know. So you get, we don't really want to bounce around the country.
Once... Going to Winnipeg, you don't want to do that.
You want to go to Winnipeg, especially on the way home in January.
No, I'm trying to fight with WestJet too, because I have two companion flights that are, you know, included in my rewards and everything. Mm-hmm. And the one was supposed to expire when we couldn't travel. Mm-hmm. So they've extended it, but now they won't let me book it online. So I'd have to phone and all this kind of stuff. And
We had a debt that they owed us, and they kept saying, oh, we'll give you other flights and so on, and we couldn't get it, and then we sort of let it lapse for a little while, and then when we did want to fly, we thought, okay, well, we might as well use those dollars if they owe them to us, and so we went in to try and do it, and we realized that they actually had given us back the money.
It was on my bank account the whole time.
That's right. It was in a month where we did a couple of annual insurance for cars and things like that, and it was just a big month, and it was going down, and it just seemed to come out in the wash. But they said, "No, we gave the money." So the woman online got a great kick out of that with Carolyn, because I'm sure she was in some Asian country.
Anyway. So we have airlines and things like that. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yes. Bye-bye. See you next week.
See you, Jim. We should probably draw this meeting to a close. Fred, do you have any last-minute things you want to contribute before we get out of here? I don't have any recommendations. I've been working on a house. I haven't watched anything.
Yeah, the TV's been off quite a bit here. What a shame.
No, I haven't got anything. We've been doing a lot of YouTube stuff. We watched Father Goose and Wackiest Ship in the Army, I think it was, this week, and thoroughly enjoyed both of them.
Those are movies?
They're both movies.
Old movies.
What was Father Goose is a really old movie. I remember that one. Yeah.
I'm going to add it to my classics list. Well, what was the second one?
Wackiest Ship in the Army.
I've enjoyed going back to some classic movies. movies. It's really interesting to watch how the acting and the scripting and without all the CGI special effects, you got to lean on all this other stuff.
There's also Mr. Roberts, a good one.
Say that again, Fred.
Mr. Roberts is a good one.
Robert.
Goes to Washington?
No, that's definitely different.
Smith
no, that's a different movie. Mr. Roberts is about a ship in the South Pacific. And he's not an ensign. He's one up. Lieutenant, I guess. JG. Anyway, he's on a supply ship in the South Pacific with a captain that's, a tyrant. And it's a funny movie and got a sad ending, but it's a great movie. It's one of those that you remember. Then what was the other one? Mr. Pulver or something like that was a follow-up on Mr. Roberts or Ensign Pulver. And that was about the ensign that was with Mr. Roberts on the same ship who avoided anything to do with work. That one is funny also. Those are some classic movies I like to have watched.
I'm going to add those to my classic movies list.
I got a question for your mom, Scott.
Okay, here. Bill. Thank you, Fred.
How long did the first granddaughter hugs last?
I'm still getting them. It's really exciting. And they're long. Yeah, they're really deep, long hugs. It feels so good.
Yeah.
We know the feeling.
Yeah, it feels like it's just been a long time. It's been great to be here with my folks and helping my buddy with his house.
Yeah, that's been
really
your
mom's
trick.
Computer? I want to know, have you fixed your mom's computer?
No, I'm still the cobbler's child.
I haven't had a chance to get to it. They've got a fire stick they want me to set up as well, and I've just been stripping paint off of a house for 3 days. Moving stuff and cleaning. I was washing carpets yesterday.
Stuff
anyway,
I
gotta go.
Knew how. Bye, Bill.
I gotta go. They got Amazon delivery. I gotta go play now.
Oh, yeah. Bye. You gotta go. Yeah, get out of here. Go find out what's in that box. Cheryl, we'll touch base again. Oh, all right. Goodbye,
bye.
Cheryl. Never mind.
I thought it was Bill that left.
Yeah, I thought it was Bill that had to leave, too. Fred, we'll see you next week.
For
bye,
sure.
Fred.
All right. Adios.
Have a good week.
You too. Tech on. So this is Scott Stimson and his mom, Sandy. We're here in Anchorage. This is where we're doing the club from. And just here to talk about tech topics every Tuesday. We get started at 10 o'clock Arizona time, but it is 9 o'clock Alaskan time. And so that's throwing us off a little bit, throwing me off a little bit. As well as I've got handicapped equipment, what I'm working, not in the studio anymore. Until next Tuesday, you guys have a great week and tech on. Get out of this meeting.